Sphero with Robots, the podcast for news and views on robotics. Hi and welcome to Robots episode 119. I am Jana and today we will hear about an app-controlled robotic ball gaming system called Sphero. But first, let's look at the latest robotics news and developments with Christine.
Thank you, Jana. You may remember Dmitry Grishin, who we have interviewed in an earlier episode, and who is a Russian internet entrepreneur who made his fortune with Mail.ru and recently became a major robotic investor by founding his own multi-million dollar robotics investment fund. He has now announced an investment into California-based company Robot App Store. Robot App Store is an online marketplace for robotics applications. It uses a model similar to the one pioneered by Apple for its iPhone and iPad to create apps for consumer robots like Roombas, Nouns, or Lego Mindstorms. Apps available for download range from the entertaining, like a Roomba delivering a birthday cake and singing happy birthday, to the eminently practical, like an app giving an early overheating warning for the Now. The investment of $250,000 will be used to extend Robot App Store's current business in the consumer and educational robot apps industry. More generally, the deal is also a boom for the budding field of cloud robotics, which comprises multiple efforts worldwide to leverage the success and huge impact of internet, cloud computing, and mobile phone technology for robotics. For more information, including a video interview with Robot App Store CEO and infographics about robot apps and cloud robotics, have a look at robohub.org.
Sphero is a small, yet sophisticated robot that looks somewhat like a slightly oversized golf ball. It can be controlled via smartphones and offers users a multitude of games and activities, from tabletop and driving exercises to multiplayer challenges and automated reality games. Sphero developers Ian Bernstein and Adam Wilson founded the company Orbotics in 2010, which now produces the Sphero robot and all its compatible free gaming apps.
So welcome to the podcast. Today I'm here with Ian Bernstein from Sphero. We're going to talk about his fantastic little toy and how it actually both is controlled by the iPad or any Android device and also controls it. So it's both an output and an input, I understand. But we can start with how you got into robotics.
All right, let's see. So I started homeschooling when I was in fourth grade, which I guess is 11, 12 years old. And my dad saw that I was always interested in taking stuff apart. I would always take like cameras and radios and had this box of parts. But he is a classical guitarist, and he started trading guitar lessons for this guy teaching me about electronics. And through this guy who started teaching me about electronics, I got involved. Or he showed me a flyer for the Beam Robotics Games, which were in New Mexico in 1995. And my dad ended up taking me the first day, and we were just going to check it out. And I got totally hooked and went every day of the competition and just started acquiring parts and building robots. And I started a robot website I was totally hooked. So ever since I was, I think, almost 12 years old, I've been building robots.
Beamwork is then the Mark Tilden's Beam Robotics, huh?
Yep. Yeah. So I work with Mark Tilden a lot. He was in Los Alamos, which I grew up in New Mexico. It was only a couple hours away. So my dad would take me up there and meet with Mark, and he'd give me schematics and stuff. And of course, I know like Rodney Brooks and all those guys back then as well.
So then you got into how did you get into starting a business, and how did you select the idea you wanted to work with?
So I went from homeschooling, and when I was 18, I went to college for electrical engineering and computer science, and Did that for a while at New Mexico Tech, and then I transferred to Colorado State and went to a career fair and I just went around all the different companies and asked them what sort of jobs they had available, and everything just sounded really boring. So I decided to start my own company. I ended up starting a web design company, meanwhile working part-time at this robotics company, Road and Arrows Robotics in Colorado, to keep my engineering fresh. And basically, I learned a lot about business, and I just got tired of building websites for other people. I really wanted to do my own thing. And in late 2009, just was playing with my iPhone one night and wondered why this awesome computer that I have in my hand has touchscreen and way better than anything in the robots we were selling. And I was like, well, why can't I use this device to control physical things? So that was the premise behind starting this business, Orbotics. With that idea, we got into a startup accelerator program.
In Boulder, Colorado then, huh?
Yep. So right in Boulder, called Techstars. And they helped my co-founder, Adam, and I build our company.
That's amazing. And I guess the experience of being in one of these Techstars or other incubator programs must be a real thrilling ride. Huh?
Oh, it's crazy. They're 3 months long, and they hook you up with mentors and investors and people from all over, you know, Facebook and Google and Twitter. And so we were actually the first hardware company to go through Techstars, and that was in the summer of 2010. Since then, Techstars has had a couple other hardware companies, and there's actually hardware-specific accelerators that have come up. That's awesome if you have a robotics company or anything hardware. China Accelerator, and I think there's a couple other new ones that are popping up that you can apply to, and they're very focused just on hardware companies.
Mm-hmm. Was it a challenge for you to come into this Techstar that is usually web-orientated and being a hardware company? What was the challenges around that?
So the two main challenges that we faced were, at the time, Techstars only gave us $6,000 per founder for the summer. So obviously we weren't working. We were doing this 17 hours a day, 7 days a week, getting our company going, but having to buy physical things and make circuit boards. And so we basically ran out of money by the end of Techstars. So that was one challenge. And then the other challenge was investors. So all these investors coming in, things are changing now, I think, just recently, but 90% of the investors we talked to, as soon as they saw that we were doing hardware, they're like, okay, no, like we won't invest in hardware. But I think that's actually changing now with all these new hardware companies coming up and Kickstarter, and investors are starting to realize that, you know, hardware isn't as scary as it was in the past.
Because is there anything you can tell us about what you to do this in $6,000? I guess you had to be really smart about how to do the different iteration of the hardware you had to do as cheaply as possible. Is there any tips you have out to the listeners out there on how to do hardware really cheaply?
So I guess I had learned a lot getting started in beam robotics. So Mark Tilden's philosophy was all about, you know, taking things apart and acquiring parts and surplus. And so that helped. Like the original Sphero prototype was built with paper clips, and the Sphero was these holiday Christmas ornament, like blanks that you can buy at Hobby Lobby. So you cut off the little hanger tab, and that was like the original Sphero shell. So we definitely hacked together the first prototypes, and now, of course, with 3D printing and all the new MakerBots that are coming out, it's getting a lot easier and a lot cheaper to do that. Those prototypes.
Do you think that's an opportunity or a problem when it comes to actually then manufacturing the scaling up, basically, or manufacturing it in at scale? That you have this background in hacking it together.
it was definitely challenging to get. Yeah, exactly. It was very challenging to get from a prototype to something that, you know, would work in somebody's home. And we ran into material issues on every single part inside Sphero, just like robustness, and things have to work different temperatures. Like if somebody's in the winter, has it in their car, or they leave it next to their heater, it has to work both of those temperatures. Static electricity, like so many different things and so many different problems. But our manufacturer in China helped us out with a lot of those problems as well.
How was it for a small, new started company to work with China for production? Because I think that, I mean, you basically have to go to China, right?
Yeah. I think looking back, I'd be curious if we started again to look at U.S. manufacturing as well. But yeah, I spent about 6 months in China last year, and I loved it over there, and I loved working with the teams at the factory. And I think really the only suggestion to somebody else is just make sure you have somebody or you need to be over there. Have no problem getting a one-way ticket to China and just spending as long as it takes over there working with their teams to make sure everything's right.
Yeah, you have to be on site when it happens, huh?
Absolutely, yes.
Mm-hmm. How, the language barrier, is that a big problem? Should you have somebody speaking Chinese with you or English Chinese with you?
Our particular factory, all of the engineers that we worked with spoke very good English, so that helped. We also had a company getting us through the beginning processes called Dragon Innovation, and they worked with us. And they had people in China, that Chinese citizens that spoke English and Chinese, that helped as well.
So that wasn't the major issue, huh?
Never had any issues with that, no.
But so the take home from that is go there and it will be possible, huh?
Yep.
So let's see. Could you tell us a bit about the Swero as a hardware? What is in there and how did it end up in there, so to speak?
So we basically wanted Swero as intuitive and lower barrier to use as possible. So things like Wi-Fi were out, because if you use Wi-Fi, you're going to either have to somehow connect it to your home network, but then you go to like a restaurant and you're not going to be able to use it. Or it has to set up an ad hoc network, which means you have to go into your settings and change networks every time you want to use it. So we had to use Bluetooth. So we used Bluetooth inside Swero. We experimented with a bunch of different ways to move it. And found that the best way was two motors. It's essentially a mini Segway inside of a ball. So it has two motors to move it. And then to stabilize it, we realized that we would need a gyro and accelerometer. And then, of course, we wanted some more feedback, so we added a RGB LED. And we knew we wanted it sealed, both to make it strong and waterproof. So that meant we needed induction charging. So that's pretty much it inside Swero. We have induction charging, an LED, a processor, of course, the motors, and a gyro and accelerometer for stabilization and Bluetooth for communication.
I've understood that, like the Bluetooth and the inductive charging. These are all components, and you, if somebody wants to do something out there and they feel I'm not an expert on all of these fields, isn't it so that the technology is so mature now that it's actually reasonably easy to buy these as modules and then just assemble them into the project you want to develop?
Yeah, it's definitely, yeah. I mean, a lot of the parts for initial Swero were just purchased through SparkFun. Just a lot of modules wired together. Yeah.
Were there any special challenges, for instance, with Bluetooth? Is there licensing or is it any... Was it just buy them and go on, or is it any legal or other issues you have to handle?
There's a little bit of FCC and EMC certification that you have to go through. We ended up using a Bluetooth module, one of the modules that SparkFun sells, actually, for Merbing Networks. But so that's pretty much off the shelf. They handle their module is certified in itself, and then you just have to do a secondary RF certification through FCC. So it was a little bit tricky on a couple of those parts, but I mean, obviously any consumer product has to go through those certifications.
If you go to the FCC and you want your certification, are they set up for the small startup, or do they expect the large corporations? Did you see an issue there?
I mean, it's pricey. like we did our certification in at a lab in China, which is a little bit cheaper, but I think it doesn't matter what product you have. It's like $12,000 to do just an FCC certification. So other than the price barrier, it wasn't too big of an issue. I mean, it's only a few hours. You go into the lab, you run all these tests on it, and they print out if you're okay or not.
Mm-hmm. But if you then had to do that, if you failed and you had to do it again and again and again, it adds up. And for a large corporation, that isn't the problem. But for a new startup, $10 times $12,000 is a big check to write to somebody. Yeah,
yeah, so definitely.
I guess you and I could both go make a call out to these authorities that they have to accommodate the small startup businesses too.
Yeah, definitely. That'd be nice. And just ways of doing... So you can go in and do a pre-cert. Not the actual certification test, but they'll just give you a rough, like, you're good or not. And that way you can do... You can rent the lab by the hour, which is a little bit cheaper. But yeah, that is definitely a barrier.
Mm-hmm. We see that in many areas that authorities and are actually trying to come down, because hardware was the domain of the large corporation, but it isn't true anymore, and they're trying to adapt. So we have to give them credit for that. And then, you interface with an Apple or Android device, any Bluetooth device, I guess. And then you have developed games and interactions with that. Can you tell us a bit on this the Swero platform? What have you done with it?
Right. So we look at Swero not just as an RC ball or a toy, but we want it to be a robot gaming system. So we want it to be like your Wii or your PlayStation, where you buy the PlayStation and then you have access to hundreds of different games. So that's the model that we have for Swero. So with Swero, we'll have about between 20 and 30 apps out before this holiday. We have both games where you can put Swero on the ground and you can control it, and you can roll it around and control which direction the ball is moving. And then we also have games where you hold Swero in your hand and essentially use it as a 3D mouse to control gameplay on your tablet or your smartphone. And then we have like party games and strategy games, all different kinds of apps that you can download and different things you can do with it.
Yeah. Do you have an SDK out there? Can I develop a game or use it as you say, the 3D mouse? Can I use this as a 3D mouse if I have something I want to control?
Yes. So we have native iOS and Android SDKs. So we've put so much work into making sure it's super easy to build a game for Swero. Like within 20 minutes, we've had people that have like never written an iOS or Android game or any app controlling Swero. And then at the high level, we also have an app called Macro Lab that you can at a high level put commands in, like roll commands and LED change commands, and put them in a sequence and then hit play, and then it'll play through that sequence. So that's good for kids or people just getting involved in programming.
Non-programmers, so to say. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But it is fully sealed. So what you can't do is hack the insides, I guess.
So you can cut it open. And
yeah, we like voiding warranties here. So.
Well, so we've been talking about releasing shells, replaceable shells that you can then buy and tape closed after you've cut your Swero open. But we've definitely wanted to make Swero hackable on all levels. So you can cut it open, you can take like the LED outputs and hook them to something and now piggyback on top of our SDKs to make your Blender like phone controlled.
Yeah. This is the thing I like with the younger, the smaller companies, that they're so open that being hackable is just... Yeah, of course we should be hackable, both software and hardware, and that you go out of your way to sell the extra shells and to make it, you can actually cut it open. I think that's just amazingly great. What have you seen any activity in this? Have you seen your customers and stuff, people out there doing some cool stuff?
Definitely. So we've done a bunch of hackathons around the country, around the U.S., that we've had probably 50 different apps come out of. You can go to spheroverse.com and see all the different things people have done at those hackathons. And a lot of people have open sourced the code that they've written. So you can download those projects and build off them. And then just I mean, I search YouTube all the time for Sphero and see tons of cool little hacks that people have done. Like somebody controlled like six of them with his Kinect. So he would like move his arms to the right and these six Spheros would all like swarm to the right. And then he'd like move his arms to the left and they all swarm to the left. People use like MacroLab to wiggle Sphero back and forth. And he taped a fin to the back of it and put it in a pool. And that wiggling back and forth macro that's looped like caused Sphero to swim around the pool, this little fin. I don't know, just like so many weird hacks, and it's awesome.
Yeah, being a platform is a really great thing because it allows you to allow your customers to do things like this, and that's just an amazing showcase. Have you thought about making a acrylic, a clear one, and put a camera in there?
Can you put a camera in there is probably our number one question. we haven't for a few reasons. For instance, like, the clear shell then becomes your lens. And when your lens is driving around on concrete, like it doesn't, your image quality would probably drop pretty quickly. A technical reason is Bluetooth is, it's pretty low bandwidth. So transferring images would be extremely slow. So we would have to also put Wi-Fi in it or something.
Or very low resolution video, and that's not nice.
Right. And then like concerns of like a camera like on the ground looking up at people is also a concern.
Privacy issues. This is and for you as a small company, I mean, and this is something that when we are used to small software companies, but we're not used to small hardware companies, and I mean security and all these things. I mean, that is truly a challenge to as a small company handle all these ones. You're in Boulder, Colorado. Could you talk a bit about because what I understand is that this is a very active hardware and software, but actually a robotic scene in Boulder, Colorado. Can you talk a bit about that?
There's tons of robotics companies around Boulder and Denver. There's of course us, there's Modular Robotics. We have Spark Fun there, which is huge in the hobbyist scene. Road Narrows Robotics, Gamma 2. And I think a lot of that comes from just all the tech companies in general that are around that area. We have, you know, all the big IBM, AMD, Xilinx, Seagate. So all these engineers are there. We started a Boulder is for Robots meetup earlier this year, and the turnout is probably 100 to 150 people per meeting. Like it's pretty cool to see people from all these different robotics companies there and just people from the community that are interested in robotics. So yeah, it's definitely a growing scene.
Very interesting to hear from this. And is it really nice that you can actually go into and develop hardware this way? I think this is for robotics, which is hardware. I think it's essential that we try to streamline the process of developing hardware because it's been far too expensive and hard before. So thank you very much for being part of the podcast. We'll check the Sphero-verse.com
and
the cool stuff. And of course, Sphero's own homepage. Eh?
Yeah, and our main site is gosphero.com.
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 Yeah. And I'm thinking we're going to find this under the many Christmas trees coming that season.
Cool. Yeah, we got lots of retail stores and online, so lots of places to get it.
Perfect.
Thanks.
Thank you.
And that's it for this episode. We would like to invite you all once more to create your very own 2012 festive greetings. These can be fictional, scientific, or business-oriented video or audio tracks, and will feature a selection of contributions on our dedicated YouTube channel and in some of our upcoming episodes. Just check out our website at robotspodcast.com to find out more and make a submission. For now, we wish you all a very Merry Christmas, and we'll be back in 2 weeks' time. Until then, goodbye. Sphero with Robots, the podcast for news and views on robotics.